First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
The MVN Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringson.com. You can go for all the latest replays of this show, any investigations or stories that we're dating, and you just get a general feel of what we do, man. I tell you what, and while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com or EdSpringson.com, please do us a favor. Join our RSS feed. We'll make sure that the radio shows get delivered right to your inbox so you don't miss anything and go search it. And also join the email newsletter. Our email newsletter goes out on a weekly or monthly basis direct to your inbox, filled with everything that we've been doing. So that just makes it a lot easier for you. And if you don't mind why there, you know, we do rely on a lot of people to help keep everything going. So if you don't mind and you have a couple of bucks, hit that little donate button. That helps us pay for everything we've got. All the servers, all the other stuff we have to do, investigate, you name it. For you guys that are new to the show, 858-683-1326 and 502-805-0334 are the numbers to call in. For those of you who are in the listening to each and every night, we appreciate you. Just make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad so that we know you want to get on air. It sends me a little flag and lets me know. And for everybody else, we also have a live chat that's open each and every show. You can join us right in the live chat right here at BTR. You can sign in using your Facebook or your Twitter social media accounts as well. So there's always something going on. Always a way to get a hold of us. You can even write me direct at LouisvillePolitics@gmail.com, and that's one way to get your voice heard as well. I respond to every email personally, although it may take a couple of days. We do get bombarded. But I do respond to your questions and thanks each and every one of you personally. So, got all kinds of ways to talk to you. We really want to hear from you. And to tell you, speaking of hearing, there's a couple of things going on. The last couple of days, today primarily, and I tell you, I've got to be honest with you folks, there's a gentleman out there by the name of Dr. Gerald Higginbotham. You can talk to Dr. Gerald and find out more about Dr. Gerald at drgerald.net. That's DR for Doctor, Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D .net. I will put that into the chat room right now for those of you who are there. You know, and you can find out more about Gerald. But I tell you, he came in today into Louisville from Ferguson and St. Louis here. And that's where he's from. And I want to talk to people throughout the community, community leaders and everybody else about Louisville and what goes on in our community. And he's hoping to take that back to Ferguson and let the people of Ferguson know that they're not alone. And, you know, anyway, the long story short, I have followed Dr. Gerald quite some time online on his website. I have listened to Dr. Gerald on another radio program. A friend of mine by the name of me, Sean Daniels, here in Louisville runs called Focus Show. It airs every Wednesday from 10 to 12. So I'm familiar with Dr. Gerald before I ever had the chance to meet with him today. And I've got to tell you folks something. I've liked what Dr. Gerald has been talking about and really preaching and trying to make a difference about. But nothing can compare to meeting this man in person. 56 years old, full of energy. He is a no BS kind of guy. He's not going to sit there and let you make excuses for any behavior. He's not going to sit there and do that. Dr. Gerald is going to tell you how it is. And I tell you, I was very honored to meet him today. He doesn't sit there and make excuses for the African-American community. He tells people, basically preaches what we all should know the truth about anything we do. Personal responsibility. If you don't like where you're at, put a roadmap together, make changes to get where you want to be. Period. And I tell you, I think you guys should check out his website. We're going to get Dr. Gerald on our show very, very soon. I spoke with him today, and he was very happy to commit. We just have to get our skills together. He was on the road today, obviously, because he was here. So we'll get a hold of him the next day or two, and we will get our schedules to bring him on air. Because I think when you talk about trying to unite a community, and you look at the racial divides that were going on in St. Louis and Ferguson, Missouri, you know, you look at that and you realize right here in Louisville, we sit on that same stage. We really do. And you know, so I just think he brings very, very important piece of the puzzle to the table. I was very happy to meet with Dr. Gerald today at the Descendants of American Slaves location at 21st and Jefferson, you know, along with other community leaders. And, you know, we had everybody represented. I mean, we had American Indians there. You know, we had the African-American community there, were descendants of American slaves, because these gentlemen don't like being called an African-American because African, they've never been to Africa. They don't believe they identify with them. You know, they believe they are Americans first, but they're here because of American slaves, and their history says that they are descendants of American slaves, hence the name. And actually, I kind of like that. I really do. As much as it sounds that I may be leaning politically correct, I'm not. All of these gentlemen identify as Americans first. You know, but if you're going to label someone, then define your own label. And that argument I agree with. So it was a very interesting meeting. We had everybody represented from different walks of life. Dr. Gerald is one hell of a man. I've got to tell you, I was very impressed with him. Normally, I don't spend this kind of time talking and pumping up this stuff, but we have spent a lot of time over the last few weeks talking about the situation in Missouri. And here we had a gentleman that came to Louisville from there to speak with us, who was living in the middle of that firsthand, you know, that to me is at this point a great American. I can think of no other way to do it. Here is a gentleman, 25 years pilot. He has spent, the last few years in a lifetime trying to make a difference. And we always applaud those kind of folks. So, Dr. Gerald, welcome to Louisville. I thank you for your time today. I know you're listening to the show, but we appreciate it very, very much. Moving on, you know, we've got to get into the news a little bit when we come here. For those of you who have not heard, Joan Rivers, comedian Joan Rivers, died today at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. She was having surgery on her vocal cords on August the 28th. She stopped breathing during surgery, has basically been living on life support since then, and she passed away this afternoon. And, you know, this, again, a major loss. You know, Robin Williams, you know, took his own life, but he passed away a couple weeks ago. Now Joan Rivers. I don't know about you guys, but at my age, these were two of the most famous and, in my mind, brilliant comedians. in my generation. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a loss. Did not care for Joan Rivers' politics whatsoever. But as a comedian, she was finer than anything you can imagine. So she will be missed, and Godspeed her as well. We've got news going on here in town, here in Louisville. 22-year veteran of the Louisville Metro Police Department is now on paid administrative duty and was stripped of all his police powers yesterday because he was arrested from shoplifting from a sporting goods store. I guess staying tough all over is all I can tell you. Officer Larry Wagner is 44 years. He's been in it with the LMPD for 22 years. He was arrested late Tuesday, charged with three counts of theft for unlawful taking under $500. Apparently, he decided to go into Cabela's and, you know, start taking merchandise from packaging and putting it, you know, concealing it in his body and his clothing, whatever. Before the store, got caught on tape. You know, this guy makes $56,201 a year as an officer. All right, I mean, here is a guy who is supposed to be out there, you know, protect and serve, and I'm sure has arrested other people for shoplifting and stuff. I don't know what to say about this. I really don't. You know, because most people are going to jump on the bandwagon, see all cops are dirty, and that's not true. That's not true. And quite frankly, he was arrested and he was charged, but the total loss is less than $500 that he took on shoplifting. A felony is $600. So, you know, and he's on paid administrative leave, and I guess that's the only part of this that really bothers me. I don't understand why officers can be caught red-handed and immediately put on paid administrative leave pending an investigation that they're clearly guilty of. I don't believe in a paid administrative leave. If I get arrested, I don't get paid for the time that I'm off from my employer. I don't get paid leave, and neither does anybody else, unless you're a government official. So that is the only disturbing part of this for me. I mean, I'm definitely disturbed because it happens to be a police officer shoplifting. Don't get me wrong. But you know, police officers and that career and that profession are like anything else. There's not one business or one profession that anybody is in that doesn't have a bad apple in it, period, the end. So LMPD is no different. I don't want people to judge LMPD because of this officer. It's one guy who made a stupid decision. But I think we do need to start questioning why, you know, government officials, if you will, you know, elected, you know, police officers, all these guys who are on the taxpayer dime, automatically go on paid administrative leave pending some sort of investigation. They should be unpaid. They should be unpaid. If, in the off chance, that you know, whoever these officials or officers or anybody else happens to be found not guilty and the charges are not sustained, then by all means, give them the back pay that they deserve for being put through this. But we cannot continue putting all these government officials, you know, on this paid administrative leave. It makes no sense. So we have to start making a situation where we hold them accountable. And the only way to hold them accountable is to put them on an unpaid administrative leave. Let's face facts here. If you miss a week of work because of an arrest or something, you know, and you're found innocent of that, your company isn't going to reimburse you. You're going to sue the daggone government or whoever it was. And try to get your money back there. You're going to suffer for a while. You're eventually going to get your money if you're innocent. I found that out firsthand because I was falsely arrested and accused a couple of years ago. Okay? But to automatically be put on paid administrative leave means that you're not suffering any consequences for your actions. Is the officer embarrassed? Sure he is. Nobody likes that public display like this, a public display of humiliation. But he shouldn't be above the law or the repercussions any of us face. And that's the problem that I have. You know, and of course, with 22 years in service, and this will really essentially be a misdemeanor by the time it's all said and done because it's less than $600, you know, so with all is said and done, I mean, at this point, he's going to retire and he's going to get full retirement. Guilty or not guilty, he's going to get full retirement. You know, so maybe we need to look at that too. There should be repercussions for actions. In the meantime, we also have more stories here in Louisville. I tell you, I cannot comprehend how dumb some people are. Louisville Water Company CEO and President Jim Bramall was arrested for DUI for driving 96 miles an hour in Odom County late last month. The Odom County Police Department arrested him in LaGrange. And what's really interesting here is, note this, this is on a Saturday morning. The Odom County Police Department arrests CEO and President of Louisville Water Company, Chief Jim Bramall, on Saturday morning about 11 a.m. August the 23rd. He was driving 36 miles an hour over the speed limit at 11 o'clock in the morning. He registered a .117 on his breath and his breath alcohol test. The legal limit, of course, in Kentucky, .08. So he was 1.5 times the legal limit at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I don't know how quick or how soon these guys start driving. I mean, drinking and driving is serious, but I saw the time frame, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. But of course, he said, well, I take full responsibility. This is my mistake, blah, blah, blah. No, spare me this. Really, spare me this. I regret that this has happened, and I take full ownership and accountability. I realize it's my obligation to set the highest standard for our company, and I failed to do so. This will not happen again. Spare me the bullshit. Seriously. Let's just call it what it is. Spare me the bullshit. Guys, that you were supposed to set the highest standard for your company, and you failed to do so in this instance. This isn't the first time you have driven under the influence. Let's just make that clear. Very rarely is that the case. It may be the first time that you got caught, and thank God there was nobody hurt by your incredibly stupid actions, Mr. CEO. But let's not play the game here, because we the people are sick of hearing that. Bramall was driving a 2014 Ford Taurus, and it's amazing to me because Bramall was the guy who was assistant to Greg Heisman forever. Greg Heisman was over at the Louisville Water Company and read that, and they decided they're going to try to merge Louisville Water Company and MSD. And please, guys, don't sit here and try to deny it. You know, I'm not going to listen to that garbage anymore. We both know. Everybody knows that's what's going on really behind the scenes. All right? So that's the game plan. So they moved Greg Heisman to MSD. So Bramall, who was working as an assistant to Heisman for all these years, ended up being named as the CEO and president of the Louisville Water Company, which, by the way, is a Louisville government operation. Now, they will deny that and tell you, well, it's a private business. No, for all intents and purposes, it's a Louisville government operation. Louisville owns lock, stock, and barrel 100% every share of the Louisville Water Company. They run the Louisville Water Company as a for-profit business. All profits get sent back to the city of Louisville each and every year. All the dividends are paid back to the city of Louisville each and every year. And they use that as an illegal tax, in my opinion. And that's what they do with it. So this guy, technically, to me, is representing Louisville Metro Government, not Louisville Water Company. He's running out there in Odom County at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning at 1.5 times the legal limit for drinking. Fire him. Period. The end. Sorry. Your career is over. Is over. We do not need that liability. So, you know, we've got to really pay attention to these kind of stories. But those are the two hottest off the press here. I want to move into some state races, and I tell you why. It's amazing to me when I look at this stat. But here's a stat that you guys may not be aware of. According to WPL, 37,500 TV ads have aired in this Kentucky Senate race between Mitch McConnell and Allison in Wonderland Grimes. 37,500 TV ads so far, and those numbers will go greatly up the closer that we get to the election. This Senate race alone, just between Grimes and McConnell, is going to run at least $100 billion, according to all reports, and it's easy to see why. It's easy to see why. But I tell you, what's really interesting here is they're spending all this money on TV ads that aren't being seen by the general public because they don't care. Everybody today has DVR. So you're fast-forwarding through the commercial because you're just getting sick of hearing lies and the garbage. Okay? So you're not listening to them anyway, and they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know, for people like me, and I'm going to plug myself right now, and I'm going to plug this show. You know, I'm going to take a little heat for this, and that's okay. But part of the matter is, when you listen to this show, you listen to shows like this show, these are where the voters are. The voters are. They are spending hundreds of millions of your dollars, your campaign donations, to buy TV ads that no one is watching, that is not going to greatly increase the turnout in the November general election anyway. 37,500 to date. My bet is that that number will be almost double that in less than 2 months. Why are they not spending that money on the alternate media, on the online media like this show and others like us, who bring the news and the issues to you, the voter, and make sure that you are informed of what is really going on? We have a better reach for the actual voters than anything on mainstream TV. Oh, that's right. You have to spend your money on mainstream TV, and you have to spend your money on mainstream radio like Clear Channel to support your other political friends or your party. So they're not helping small business at all, and that is always one of the big rubs with me. When I saw that number, I just thought it was incredible. I was like, 37,500. And, you know, they, of course, they would brag, well, we're pleased to have the resources to educate citizens about important issues affecting Kentucky. Folks, feel free to laugh now. What important issues are any of these candidates telling you in their TV ad? My opponent is against this. Shame on them. Well, what are you for? Oh, that's the end of the ad time. You know, this is what we're selling out to. So it was just a ridiculous set of circumstances. I tell you, speaking of candidates, I've got to get into Alice in Wonderland Grimes. You know, this candidate, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Dodgeball. It's got Vince Vaughn as a comical gym owner, and he puts together this dodgeball team to make money to save him. But, you know, he's got a guy in there that teaches the 5 D's of dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dive, and dodge. Now, clearly there's 2 dodges there, right? It's just a comedy movie. But, however, when you look at Alice in Wonderland Grimes, that's exactly what she's been doing throughout this whole campaign. She is, you know, 4 points down to Mitch McConnell, which is clearly within the margin of error on any poll. You know, however, she has not done one thing. She continues to complain that Mitch McConnell will not debate her. That has turned out to be a lie. We found that out definitively. Alice in Wonderland Grimes has refused to debate Mitch McConnell on more than one occasion, citing all kinds of conflicts, and then she goes out and tells the whole world that he won't debate her. That's not true. That's not true. So we've got to really start looking at the truth here. And again, you know, we look at this. She's turned down any kind of debates here in Louisville, including one that was scheduled for DHS-TV. You know, all those things. She refused to attend another debate at WDRB, you know, and she refuses to do any kind of anything whatsoever. She has agreed to one debate and blamed Mitch McConnell for being the problem with the debates. That makes no sense to me. Paul, you're on the air.
Well, actually, it does make sense if it's not apparent. Alice in Wonderland Grimes, based on my observation and also in talking with her about an issue that was near and dear to me before she got elected Secretary of State, she does not have a good command of the issues, number one, and she's not a good extemporaneous speaker, all right? And I understand her reluctance for going out there, but if you take a look at her campaign so far, there are basically only 2 issues from her side. Okay, number one, Mitch McConnell has been in there too long. Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, I can and will create jobs for Kentuckians. Well, think about the second one. In her role as Kentucky Secretary of State, how many jobs has she created there? The answer is zero. All right.
Right.
And prior to her becoming a statewide elected official as the Secretary of State, how many jobs did she create? The answer is zero. So, you know, all in all, she's got an empty promise, and the only other thing that she can criticize is Mitch McConnell's longevity. All right? I've said it for a while. This race for the Kentucky Senate between McConnell and Grimes, I think every voter in Kentucky is going to have to hold their nose when they cast their ballot for whomever, because these two candidates are overall not good for Kentucky. However, this is going to boil down to who's worse for Kentucky. And as things now stand, that's going to be Alison Grimes. She is an empty dress.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I really do. I have to agree with you there. And I tell you, and it's so amazing to me, because when you look at this from the outside, and I know I'm a political junkie. That's why we do this show and our websites and everything else. I get all that. But when you look at this from the outside in, I mean, she really is an empty airhead to me. I mean, I don't know any other way to do this. You know, she clearly continues to duck. I mean, during the whole couple of the issue a couple of weeks ago, still ongoing, by the way, folks, concerning her dad's mess and a possible illegal use of it. You know, when she's asked about that at the annual ham breakfast, which is one of the rare things during the Kentucky State Fair where we were able to actually pinpoint her in Louisville, and when she was asked about the local news guys, you know, she wouldn't answer it. She wouldn't answer the question about any of that. She just said she was excited to be at the ham breakfast, you know, and looking forward to breakfast being served. On immigration, as we know, is really the border crisis is a national emergency. There's not much to be done about this. But I want you to go to hotair.com, by the way. That's where we got most of the story at. They had a lot there, and we did verify that with other sources. Give credit where it's due. That was our first. But, you know, when she's talking about this national emergency and the border crisis, you know, how she's going to put that. You would think that that is a relevant question to ask a candidate. You know, and the same question she was asked, would she support President Obama's $3.7 billion package to address the immigration issue? She couldn't answer any of that. So all she would answer was she's going to assess everything when she's in the Senate and just if it's good for Kentucky. So when she pushed on that, talked about it, asked whether the proposed funding was good for Kentucky, you know, she couldn't even say that. You know, so, I mean, these are the things. These are important questions, relevant questions, that she cannot answer. You know, now she'll be well schooled by the time they get to the only debate that's been scheduled. She did agree to. You know, but it's very, very interesting how much she ducks and dodges. And we've spent millions and millions of dollars. We're going to go over $100 million in this one campaign alone for a U.S. Senate seat in Kentucky. They've spent 37,500 ads on mainstream TV just to tell us the same thing. My opponent is bad. Give me a shot. This isn't what we need in Kentucky. I agree with your assessment. The question at this point is, who's worse for Kentucky? That's very clear. I'm not going to give up my chance as a Kentuckian to have the majority leader in the Senate who will have the power to really help Kentucky up. I'm not willing to give that up for an airhead who has no clue. And that's what Alice in Wonderland Grimes is, in my opinion. Would you agree?
Sure. Her failure to answer the immigration question, I think that is absolutely, totally revealing as to where she is and what she intends to do. And let me explain that. The fact that she dodges it and wants to hide behind, I want to assess everything, what translate that into ordinary shirt-sleeve English, that means I've got to wait until I find out what they want me to do, they being the Democrat controllers, okay? Number two, the issue, illegal immigration absolutely affects Kentucky. Absolutely, okay? The question I have on that is it affecting Kentucky positively or is it affecting Kentucky negatively? The very rich people in the horse business depend heavily on foreign nationals to come and do the dirty jobs on their very expensive horse farms. And
sure.
And we know that many of them are not showing up on the income tax forms that these horse farm owners file. So
right.
They're off the books there, which again is telling. These people, the whole rich establishment, and many of these rich establishment types are card-carrying, dyed-in-the-wool, long-time Democrat zealots. They practice the Democrat religion. And they're not going to rock, they're not going to upset the apple cart, okay? They're not. So, and Grimes is basically assuring them that she's not going to rock their world either. So there will be absolute, she will be an acolyte for Obama, just as the Republicans claim that she will be. That she, by her answers and her behavior, is absolutely confirming that. She's confirming
right.
that. So
I'm with you there. And, you know, that is really, I think that's a good assessment, because I tell you, you know, we do know that the liberal agenda, I mean, the liberal agenda that says I'm going to assess this simply means we're going to pay a bunch of money to a couple of political supporters that happen to have some sort of a daggone business where they assess things. You know, so we're going to spend all this money, like the Brookings Institute. Let's just use them. We're going to spend all this money for these guys to sit here and tell us what our thoughts are, and we're going to tell them what we want our thoughts to be, so that they can come up with a program that's going to state, well, yeah, your thoughts are okay. So they're telling you where their agenda is and where they're going to go, and then they backtrack to get a fitting investigation, if you will, to verify the facts as they want us to believe. You know, and we've continued it. I mean, look at here at the Ohio River Bridges Project, for example, just in Louisville. You know, right here in Kentucky, you know, we have had that. How many assessments, how many different, you know, people were involved that were politically connected to come up with plans for this project? And every time it got defeated until the most recent one, now it's so expensive because they're able to pay off all the people they want to pay off. But we've been assessing just a simple bridge project for 50 years, all right, over and over and over again. How many millions and millions of dollars did we spend on these assessments? That's what the liberal agenda is. You study to death until you can find a study and make a study that's going to follow the agenda that you set forth. That's not what it's all about, and you're right. That's what I think Alvin Lundgren Grimes is doing, or Alvin Wonderland Grimes. You know, I do believe that, and I think she just told the whole Democratic Party, hey, I'm for sale. You tell me what to say, and I'm going to do it. I'm a team player. I'm going to go whatever you want me to do all the way so that I benefit personally. Now, has Mitch McConnell benefited personally from office? Yes. But we have the chance to have a Senate majority leader for the first time in a while. And we have a chance to make sure Kentucky is a relevant part of that discussion. Because as a Senate Majority Leader, Kentucky will have to be. We put Alison Lundgren Grimes in there. We have a junior senator from Kentucky, no power and no pull whatsoever. She is certainly not a Rand Paul. Go ahead.
Well, no, she's definitely not a Rand Paul. No question about that. If she should get in, you know, would be a shame, because she will have no power. But that isn't enough for me. The fact that she wouldn't have any power, and McConnell would, I'm not voting in that race on the basis of who's going to have the most power to get it, okay? I'm voting on the fact that she has demonstrated multiple times that she is as guilty as her campaign claims Mitch is when it comes to telling the truth.
Yep.
Alison Grimes is not telling the truth about many things, okay? And if she's not telling the truth about many things, what on earth has been going on during her tenure in the Kentucky Secretary of State's office? The very fact is that there's even a question that has been raised about this cozy business deal regarding her rental bus, okay? The very fact that comes up, there's two different elements to that I think should strike fear in the heart of Kentucky. And number one, she comes from a long line of political operatives. They
yep.
know the rules. they know the rules, okay? And the very fact that this is even being talked about, where you have an appearance of impropriety, suggests that this was not just an accident. This was a deliberate, calculated move on their part in an effort to save campaign money for these 37,000 television and radio ads, okay? So
today,
they know the rules. They know the rules, and yet they chose to violate the rules and thought that they could get away with it. That's mm-hmm. the other thing. And number two, if this is the type of thinking that she has, that she subscribes to in her own campaign, my God in heaven, what's been going on at the Secretary of State's office? What's been going on there? Okay? God only knows. I mean, are we going to have another Richie Farmer scandal? You know, Richie Farmer operated for a number of years kind of under the radar, but the people inside, they knew Richie Farmer was crooked as a snake.
Sure. And they know the same thing. I mean, let's face facts here, though, Paul. If you mentioned what she's doing as Secretary of State's office, you know, there was a big story, I believe it was last year. It may have been a little bit earlier, but I believe it was last year. But there was a big story at Secretary of State that she is, that she hadn't even filed the business form she was required to file with her own office. You know, so she couldn't even do her job as Secretary of State, hold herself accountable. How the hell is she going to do that for anybody else?
Well,
I think that's
it's but see, that goes back to mindset. I'm a big believer in judging people on the basis of what they do and not on the basis of what they say. Okay? And if you take a look at what Alison Grimes has done, she's not doing the things that she's supposed to do. She's saying a whole bunch of things she thinks will be accepted at face value, but I'm not judging her on that. And if she is openly flaunting the rules right now in Kentucky's election and also the federal election, okay, federal election rules. If she's openly flaunting that, what else has she been doing when nobody has been looking, okay?
Exactly.
In other words, she is not any more trustworthy than what her campaign accuses Mitch McConnell of. So that's why I'm so sour on this race for Kentuckians. We have to choose the best of the worst. The best of the worst.
Right.
That's not a choice. Okay? And it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't have a whole bunch of people say, I'm not going to vote in that race. Okay? It wouldn't surprise me if those numbers were actually down in spite of the mega millions that are being spent. Okay? Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I agree. And, you know, we have even more here. I mean, we have Jesse Benton, Mitch McConnell's former campaign manager at this point. He had resigned Friday. There was a growing scandal, as we know. There have been a lot of questions. There's been accusations against Michelle Bachmann. Jesse Benton was involved in Ron Paul's presidential campaign. State Senator Kent Sorensen in Bachmann's district pled guilty to concealing $73,000 and under the table payments for switching his allegiance from Representative Bill Bachmann to former Congressman Ron Paul during the president's primary. So he said he was paid cash to endorse Ron Paul. Okay? Jesse Benton, as has never been proven, they went through all the emails and anything else they could find, everything that's been leaked over the past year, and there's no smoking gun whatsoever that shows that Jesse Benton knew anything about this while he was running the Ron Paul campaign. Yet, because these questions continue to cover up, he decided to go ahead and resign from Mitch McConnell's campaign to make sure it didn't hurt his, you know, didn't hurt McConnell. And what's really interesting here, I love this because he resigned right away. This came about Wednesday with Sorensen, and Jesse Benton resigned on Friday because he does not want to be in the middle of this to hurt Mitch McConnell. And even the Democrats are now out there, asking the ones from Grimes and every other prominent Democrat in Kentucky are out there trying to turn this into some kind of a big thing that Mitch McConnell is crooked or dirty, which is not true in this particular regard. Nothing's been proven in this regard to prove anything else. But even the Democrats say that since Jesse Benton resigned, there's really not going to be any damage to McConnell, all right? So since they realize they can't get to Mitch McConnell on this, now they're actually trying to tie Senator Rand Paul into this. You know, Jesse Benton is related to the Pauls, he runs their campaigns. Now they're saying that this incident is going to hurt Senator Rand Paul's potential presidential bids. You know, because Jesse Benton was expected to run that campaign. You know, I mean, this is how desperate it becomes. And what comes back to me, and the reason I bring all of this up, is really what comes back to me is this. In Kentucky, we do have a history. If we take Richie Farm out of the mix and what he just got nailed for, let's go back a ways. Let's go to Operation Bobtrot in Kentucky. Who were the primary political people involved in it? Oh, yeah, they were Democrats. Let's go to recent years. Steve Henry, Democrat. Major trouble for campaign election finance violations. Alison Lundgren Grimes right now is under investigation for campaign finance elections. Jerry Lundgren, her dad was found guilty. He was let off because they had accidentally charged him with a felony instead of a misdemeanor. He was found guilty. No repercussions for his actions.
But Jerry was rewarded. He's now head of the Kentucky Democrat Party.
Oh, no, I told you there. That's what I'm saying. No repercussions for his actions.
Yeah.
Okay? Steve Henry.
He got
paid
rewarded.
A fine. Big deal.
But he got rewarded.
Yeah. Sure he did. And Henry paid a fine. Big deal. Jim King, another Democrat here in Louisville. He paid a fine. Big deal. Judy Greene, a Democrat. She actually paid the ultimate price that all these other ones didn't. She was impeached from office. All right? The one thing all of these people have in common is they're Democrats. So, you know, the thing is, we know that we have all of these problems with the Democrats in here, and this statement from Kentucky House Speaker Greg Stumbo really tells the story of how desperate these guys are. You know, Kentucky House Speaker Greg Stumbo told The Hill that this scandal involving Jesse Benton and the Republicans was another piece of evidence that shows you really can't trust Kentucky Republicans. They're telling you one thing, but look what their morals are and look what their character is. Greg Stumbo, or Dumbo,
yeah,
as we call him here, is making this statement. This guy has protected as many crooked Democrats on behalf of the party as you can possibly think of. So we're going to be adding these stories of all of this Democrat corruption, and we're also going to be fair about it. We're going to put Richie Farmer out there on the Republican side. But we're going to out all these things about who you can trust and who you can't. I was really, quite frankly, pissed off that Greg still thought that I or you were that stupid to believe this kind of garbage. They know that this is all damage, but they're trying to tell us other lies. It's pathetic. Go ahead.
Did Scumbo ever get his delinquent child support issues taken care of?
No, he did not. He
got
away with it.
So we have a guy. We've got a guy who abdicated his responsibilities to his family, telling other people how they should live. Come on.
You betcha.
Come on. Give me a break.
He went on to say that he think it clearly calls into public debate the moral fiber of the Republican Party and its inability to really abide by the law. This is phenomenal that this is the way that this party thinks. So when you talk about Alice in Wonderland Grimes and this bus scandal, of course she's going to get away with it, you know, because every Democrat does. They are never held responsible. None of these people are in jail like Richie Farmer is, and they should be. But when you own the Kentucky Attorney General, the top law enforcement officer in the state, or in the Commonwealth, if you will, you know, Jack Conway, who thinks he's going to run for a new job, we don't want him anywhere either. You know, we own the legal process throughout. The Democrats get away with it. The Republicans pay the price. And they dare to call the moral integrity or the fiber of the party. Now, this is just disturbing to me. And Paul, I really want to get to this story while I got you on, because I want to get your take on this as well. You know, we talk about being bought and paid for. I don't think that we can say any different than the unions have bought and paid for the liberal agenda forever for their own self-worth. They could care less about the American people. It's all about the union. And we have another story coming out that WPL posted today. The AFL-CIO is making a six-figure ad buy this week. They're going to introduce voters to what they're terming the Koch sisters. I know it's supposed to be the Koch sisters, but we always refer to them as the Koch brothers. So let's make these the Koch sisters. Two women, Karen and Joyce, who are trying to sit out there and cast Republicans and the Koch brothers as enemies of middle-class Americans. In this 30-second ad spot that they're first going to run, these women say they're just two average women standing up for working families. Now, here's the thing for me. Here's the thing in a nutshell. The Democrats, instead of being able to support their candidate and what they stand for, have decided to focus on what, you know, billionaires are spending their money on. They are trying to make this election not about their candidate and what their agenda is. They're trying to make this election about private people who you know, support financially different campaigns. They are trying to make the Koch brothers of the 2014 midterm election here in Kentucky not their candidate. They're trying to turn every attention away from their candidate because they know they've got a loser. And what's really interesting here, you know, is Elaine Adams, the AFL-CIO spokesman, said that the basic reason they decided to do this is that they wanted to make sure we highlighted the values of families, the sheer belief that the working class is the backbone of this economy and our system cannot be taken over by special interests or billionaires like the Koch brothers. I want you to respond to that before I go further.
Well, it's another one of these double standards, because here organized labor, thank you, used to be on the side of the typical working man and woman here in the United States. Their special interests now are making sure that they maintain their base. Organized labor has for the most part, has abandoned working class people. They are only concerned about getting union dues in the door. That's why the AFL-CIO movement has focused on public sector employment jobs. Oh, that's right. Those are the jobs controlled by the politicians. And that's why the private sector unionization effort has just about dried up. I believe the last number that I saw was that private sector unionization is at a historic all-time low. It's like 8%. But yet public sector unionization exceeds 35%. So,
yep.
So you know, organized labor is your assessment about them being all about them, you're 100% on target with that, okay? 100% on target. And they're doing their duty, and again, I think your assessment about they know they've got a loser, but they've got to go through the motions just to show that they are still part of the big extended Democrat family.
You're absolutely right. Here's the thing. You know, you just mentioned in a nutshell. You know, the unions at one time did not want public sector unionized. They really didn't. But that's when the private sector was thriving. As the unions started screwing over the private sector for the union's own gain and not the working families that they purport to represent, that number started dropping. And when their numbers started dropping, that's they made a conscious decision many years ago, jump into public sector unions, because that's a captive audience. The private sector union, the private sector business that was funding these unions through employee dues and everything else was drying because the private sector was getting hammered on wages and benefits that they could no longer sustain and afford. So you had a lot of these union businesses go out of business because the unions wanted to take everything they had. Well, in the public sector, you don't have that problem. They have unlimited supply of money. If they want more money, what do? They raise your taxes. It's that simple. The private business depends on the sale of goods to make a living and provide a job for employees. The public sector does not. The public sector is a bloated part of government anyway. Well, I could tell you right now, just from the little bit of research that I have, that we could eliminate 2 out of 3 jobs in the public sector today, have a more efficient government and a better well-run government, and you wouldn't have to worry about that. But here's what I want to get to. We'll talk about the Koch brothers for a minute, because this is what the Republicans aren't doing, and this is what they should be doing. You've got the Democrats out there trying to turn this into rich billionaires buying political favor, like the Koch brothers are concerned. And folks, I'll tell you once again, I know it's supposed to be Koch brothers, so don't get on me about that, okay? We always call them Koch because that's just the way it is. But according to BenSwan.com, they put out a lot of valuable information last week about these so-called evil Koch brothers. Charles and David Koch use their wealth. You know, everybody says that they use their wealth to make the political system bend to their will, if you will. Mainstream media, of course, as we know, are in bed with the liberal agenda. So they're not going to tell you anything good from these billionaires. But here's the problem. The Koch brothers have used that same financial power to do a hell of a lot of work on liberal causes. They have used their money towards drug decriminalization. We all talk about that. That's a liberal agenda, right? Let's make marijuana legal, for example. They have spent a ton of money trying to make that happen. They also have spent a ton of money towards marriage equality. A liberal agenda is people should be free to marry just straight people are. They spend money trying to make that happen. They agree with that. They advocate for cuts to defense spending. Isn't that a liberal agenda? Cut defense, you know. They also, you know, have done all of these different things. They oppose the USA Patriot Act, all right, which is a liberal agenda. We don't like the Patriot Act. Right? So they have spent millions of their own money on all of these liberal causes and liberal agenda items, but the mainstream media will not tell you that. Here's something else you may not know. The Koch brothers companies have won over 792 awards for what? For environmental quality, so they're environmentalists, operational safety, safety in the workforce, community service, you're kidding, and philanthropy, all liberal things. 792 awards in the last 5 years. Okay, this is including the Obama administration, the EPA, OSHA, Department of Agriculture. These Koch-funded companies have gotten all of this. You know, if you want to get into other issues, let's look at the recent situation in Ferguson. You know, we opened a show talking a little bit about that in Ferguson. You know, these guys have been fighting against the militarization of police. You know, no, another liberal agenda item. Why is the mainstream not allowing anything to be done with that? Why is the Republican Party allowing the idiots like the AFL-CIO to sit out here and disparage people who are actually doing, you know, spending a lot of money trying to help the liberal agenda just as much as the conservative agenda? Go ahead, Paul.
Well, there's an old joke out there that says that the primary reason the people who are Republican don't expend the same amount of effort to counteract the liberal side and the liberal agenda is because the vast majority of people who subscribe to Republican philosophy are busy at work every day. And I kind of like that joke because I honestly believe that folks who are getting things done are, in fact, the ones who have made it a priority to have a good, solid home life. And, you know, Ed, those decisions start really, really early in life. They do. Mm-hmm. And you know, in this country, one of the many reasons that people used to clamor to get here was because it didn't matter what your background was. It didn't matter your level of education. It didn't matter your skin color. You had the same opportunity that every other person on this land has. But that's been co-opted a lot. That's been co-opted, and that motivation isn't as strong as it used to be. But, you know, in spite of that, in spite of our crappy government policies that actually discourage folks from pursuing those kinds of things, we still have people coming from nothing, making themselves into really solid and prosperous Americans. So it's frustrating to see people who fail to live up to potential, but the main reason today is personal motivation, and right now you don't have much personal motivation if you're busy receiving all sorts of government assistance. You just don't have the motivation.
Well, and that's very true. That is very true. And you know, that's always the problem. We're going to run short on time. I'm going to go into closing rants real quick. Paul, you got any words? Well, I guess Paul didn't have any final words. You know, folks, I mean, truthfully, let me say this very, very clear. We talked a lot this week about the minimum wage. We've talked a lot this week about the free market. We've talked a lot about a lot of things. Okay? But the reality is, it's up to you to make the difference in your life, to continue to be bombarded and telling the whole world that it's acceptable for these clowns who are running the office to not give us real information and inform us and then follow through with what they promised they're going to do is ridiculous. Spent a lot of time this morning talking about those failures right here in Louisville when I was down at the Descendants of American Slaves and meeting with Dr. Gerald, as we talked about at the beginning of the show. Okay, these are things that matter. This is the liberal agenda at work. What we are seeing here, you notice I didn't say Democrats. I said liberal, all right? Because Democrats and Republicans are the uniparty. I no longer worry about the definition of what party you belong to. All I care about is your vision and what you plan for the future. You know, we continue, when we have the liberals and the Democratic agenda, and I have to mention the Democrats in this case, you know, going out there and selling their soul to the union leadership to go out there and disparage a private employer. You may not like the Koch brothers. You may be jealous of them because they're multi-billionaires. You may not like them because they give money to Republican campaigns. Okay, so be it. Let's at least deal with the facts here. Let's at least deal with the facts. This show brings you the truth. You may not like what we've had to say every show. I don't care. That is the truth. All we can do is inform you and give you the facts. So here's what it's all about. If you don't think you're getting what you're worth, then make yourself worth something valuable. One of the biggest things that drives me completely nuts, and one of the biggest things that we talked about today, this morning, was the fact that we continue to sit around. There are certain people in our America who continue to sit around and think that they should be rewarded for nothing. For nothing. If you don't like the wage you're at, make yourself more employable for a higher wage. We have a million jobs here in America that go unfulfilled every single day because people want to make themselves employable. If you're going to college to get a piece of paper to say, I've got this college degree because that's what I'm supposed to have, and you're still ending up at a warehouse working for $9 an hour, you got a problem. Maybe you didn't make yourself employable because you got a college degree in general studies. I don't know. All right? That's something you can do on your own to make yourself feel good. Great. But it doesn't necessarily make you a great employee. The government should not have a right to tell you what you're worth. You have the right to determine your value, whether that's on a personal level, whether that's on a society level, or whether that's on an economic level. Define who you are and then make a plan to get where you want to go. That's the way it is. That's the way it should be. That's the American dream. You're going to create your opportunity by the way you apply the lessons. That's it. The reason we call this show MVM Radio is we used to call it My View Matters, and we just shortened the name. MVM stands for My View Matters. You need to make sure that you are heard. You need to make sure that you are involved. To sit here, listen to the asinine 37,500 commercial TV ads that have aired so far in one election. One election is going to cost $100 million. You think about that. Politics be worth $100 million for one seat out of 100? Get real. Just to go out there and tell you, well, the other side lies a lot. No, that's not the truth. They both lie a lot. Quit casting stones. Give me somebody worthwhile. But more importantly, make yourself worthwhile. Make yourself worth the investment in you. Get involved in the process. Make a difference. But quit making excuses. You can't make excuses when you make a difference. One thing I've always said and one thing I've always promoted on this show, people will only give you what you're willing to accept. What we are seeing now in our political structure and our leadership structure, if you will, the people that we elect to make decisions for us, we have told them that we're willing to accept anything they want to throw down our throats, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. And that's the tragedy of what this America is. Paul graciously pointed out, you know, the illegal immigration problem earlier, and Churchill Downs was a great example of that. Training whatever resources we have. There's a lot of people within the African-American community who are sick of the illegal immigrants because they feel like they're taking resources from them that they would otherwise have available. But at the end of the day, we're still talking about slavery. Have we really overcome slavery all these years later? No. We've just changed the dynamics of who the slave is. We freed the descendants of American slaves, to use the term I learned today, I'll be politically correct one time, we freed those slaves with the 13th, 14th Amendments to the Constitution in the 1860s. We said there is no more slavery. We didn't really end slavery. We started importing a new breed of people. Some Mexicans, Guatemalans, from all over this world. So while the rich are making money off their backs like the rich horse owners and trainers, these guys are living like slums. It's not fair to them either. If you want a great America, stand up and make it great. Don't sit back and allow yourself to be victimized by the shell game that's being perpetuated on American people by our elected politicians. That's it. Nothing else I can say. That's it for tonight, folks. Sunday night, Ken Mulman will be here at 7 o'clock as usual with a unique brand of Liberty Unbridled. Make sure you tune in. As for me, I'll be back on Monday to talk with you guys about who knows what. It's always something. Have a great night. God bless you. Enjoy your weekend. Take care.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.